This is Parker Pathways, and for the Parker Pathway listeners, and we have a few announcements and lead-ins to make. We have Gary Anderson, the American Legend Works, as our guest, and we'll be going into the ScopesCon. Hello.
Hi, this is Victoria Graham. I'm Gary Anderson's partner, and he had to step away for just a moment, but he'll be right back.
Oh, who is this again?
This is Victoria Graham. I'm a partner in American Legend Theater. Works with Gary. We also perform together as well, and then I act as road manager when he's doing the one man show.
Oh, you do the real stuff, right?
Oh, he says I do the real stuff. That's very true.
Yeah, that's good. I've heard a lot about you. We're on air right now.
I gathered.
And it's good to meet you. And what do you think of all of this? To have Gary exposed to this wide audience.
Oh, I think this is he loves this. This is his element, and just the chance to talk about Darrow and all the different issues that this show touches. Really, he feels like he's really getting a chance to bring it to a lot of people, and kind of especially those people who know something about it, and also those people who don't know anything about it.
They're bringing the new, the younger audience to know about these things.
Yeah, oh, that's absolutely true. Well, Gary's back. So very nice to meet you all.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah.
Hopefully we'll see you, some of you, tomorrow at our performances at 2 o'clock and at 7:30 at the First Unitarian Church in San Jose. Just a beautiful, beautiful place. And the number for tickets is 408-293-1178. And be sure to say hi and that you heard us on the radio.
Absolutely.
Right.
On Parker Pathways particularly.
Oh, yes, that's very true. Have a great day.
Thank you, Victoria.
Well, hello there.
Hello. And I think
that was my guest star, Victoria Graham. And
I know.
Welcome to today's program.
Yeah, well, I think we ought to have her on conference call to work another angle here.
She is something else, and she makes a wonderful Abigail Adams. We had mentioned before that our theater company not only does Darrow, but also we do a show called The Lovers and Patriots, the love letters of John and Abigail Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be Abigail Adams, but it got to be too controversial, so I switched over to John Adams Victoria do Abigail.
Oh, she's got the voice for it.
Oh, definitely.
Listen, one of the things I want to mention, since we're being so informal, which is the way I am anyway, I want to announce to the Parker Pathway listeners a very important thing before the break here, that Parker Pathways is moving to Sundays, and starting this Sunday. This is my last Friday show. I'm moving to a larger audience, taking what I hopefully will be the Friday audience and moving them to Sunday. It'll be 12 to 2 Central Time. 12 to 2 Central Time, Parker Pathways, on Sundays. And the nice part about being on Sundays, it'll be one of the few live shows that is going to be on Sundays. I'll be competing with football. You know, we can make football scores metaphysical and try to work things out too, you know what I mean? one of the things I want to introduce to the discussion before we get you started in a good way on the Scopes trial after the break, and we'll discuss a little bit of the one paragraph grand jury of science and technology of a constitutional amendment that fits into the Butler Law.
Over 100 million Americans have dangerously high cholesterol. Are you one of them? North American Urban Spice has developed Cholestamine, an all-natural food-based supplement proven to give your body the nutritional support it needs to lower cholesterol and improve circulation naturally without the side effects of harmful prescription drugs. Call today, 800-243-5242, 800-243-5242 for Cholestamine.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Knob Creek Gun Range cordially invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. The country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. This 3-day event, October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. Hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessories available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Live entertainment Saturday, October 13th is USA's premier patriotic rock and roll band, Poker Face. Call 502-922-4457 for more information. Again, that's www.machinegunshoot.com.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, needs special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
This is Parker Pathways. Parker Pathway listeners, we have a caller from Pennsylvania. Roger? Is Roger on the line?
Yes. Thanks, gentlemen. I expect, but hope I won't be impelled to call back in later in the hour. But I wanted to ask, since you're doing the Scopes trial and cognizant, but weekly remembrant of the many defects of that trial, either as a trial per se, more like a sideshow, and both as a test of even the science at the time, as poor as it was, that it was a poor test of either of those criteria. But I did want to ask, given just on shoestring budgets of 1/100th of government and other big money academically financed levels that the creation science type proponents have still managed to reduce naturalistic evolution proponents to relative intellectual bankruptcy, how do you think that would fare today if we had sort of a grand jury of the physical sciences?
Are you asking me or are you asking Gary?
Or both.
Well, Dr. Parker, I'm going to acquiesce to your scientific knowledge and much greater intellect than this reactor.
I'm going to give two sides of the answer. I want to start out very carefully to mention something here. I've put together what is a real-world suggestion and push for a national initiative for a constitutional amendment, which I call a grand jury of science and technology for reexamination of bureaucratic food and water and civil engineering decisions. This amends the paragraph, is only five sentences, is amending the Constitution, the state's name, to define an oversight science and technology decisions promulgated by administrative hierarchies. that influence a greater populace for science and technology system designs which are implemented in water and food and medicines that impact human and animal health. The grand jury will comprise a community of voting citizens of science and technology backgrounds to serve for 4 years and render civil and possible criminal charges of government decisions that impact water used for drinking and irrigation of food and engineering designs that impact business interruptions and economic outcomes for real and personal property. And that is the extent of this initiative for a national constitutional amendment. Now, the present state of the art of the 50-some states, 20 attorney generals are completely against me on this concept that the citizens should have a right for grand jury to vote on science and technology. They say that the lawmakers make the decisions. They don't want any creative system to develop what is affecting us daily. We live in a new world. We're in the 21st century. We have science and technology as our life. And the whole process of not being able to move from the civil due process system and the criminal due process system, which comes from the 14th Amendment, they don't want to change because they want these other forms of what I call management of science theory. Does that make sense to you, Roger?
Yeah, and you notice this last, I understand that just what you're saying is not quite the same thing, but you notice in this last Dover, Delaware monkey trial that this was not a jury, but a judge refereed, not refereed, but decided a trial, sadly. I wonder if that would have survived that decision.
No,
if it was a jury, that wasn't going to fall for anything.
Exactly, because that judge, you're absolutely right. He actually functioned as an ADR, in other words, as an arbitrator director for it. I want to add this other layer to the answer, though, which was one of the proponents of the last hour, which I am proposing, and I stand by it, that I feel strongly that what's happening is that we have become blindsided by religious beliefs, which we are allowed to have, but we're being blindsided by not accepting the science and technology that's the good part to be able to develop our humanistic interpretations of the law, to be able to propone it in such a way to have, well, first step, only 7 judges in the whole system of the Federal Circuit. We're given classes at the Judges College in Nevada on forensic science.
Jeez.
This is year 2006, Roger.
Yeah, well, on the Scopes business, I can't think of any reason, having heard and read a lot, that that the creation science proponents are not more intellectually robust than anything I've ever heard from the naturalistic evolution promoters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's that argument of intelligent design and Darwinism.
Yeah, and as a now they can't stand to let the chips fall where they may, where that intelligence might require a creator, but and that's not what we're pushing for. But we should actually be able to push that as well.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's beside the point. Their arguments are so weak they can't even allow the ideas to be aired in the public school system.
Well, because they want to have the Darwinism in the public school system.
Why wouldn't they be happy to have these ideas aired with students and then laughed off?
Because they get money for it.
Well, because you can laugh them off. They're more robust.
Yeah, they get tax money. Yeah,
well,
they're
petrified. The tender skulls full of mush are going to even hear the ideas.
Right, and I think there's a book that I'm going to give you a reference on that has to do with the intellectual thought process of primates. This is a science study, and this is called the Model Tool Use Tradition in Primates. It's an implications for coevolution of culture and cognition. And this is in the Journal of Human Evolution, Volume 44, page 645. And this is a very sophisticated study on how their socialization has developed over a period of billions of years and how this has all worked. The problem that I see is there's nothing wrong with this study. But the whole problem that I see is the fact that there are three camps. One says, well, we like the Muslim cab drivers in Texas, in a town in Texas, don't want to associate with a dog that somebody has. And, of course, that leaves out the guide dogs for the blind. And the thing is, the fact, because they're a lower form, yet never, because the dog is a lower form to them. I have talked with scholars from the Islamic situation. They say there isn't any such belief out there. This is made up. So the whole thing comes down to the fact that the third layer is saying, well, we don't want to associate with this kind of thinking because we don't want to be called a primate.
Yeah.
Yet most of the behavioral studies that are done are with primates.
Yeah, well, now even the Roman Catholics, of course, a few years back have boneheadedly and syncretistically continued in that long tradition, carved out wiggle room unnecessarily, absent any scientific rationale, for carving out wiggle room for naturalistic evolution should it roll in someday. They don't want another Galileo biting them in the butt, I guess, is...
Exactly, because, you know, because they put Galileo to the stake, you know.
God bless you.
Yeah. Well, listen, Roger, you call back again. By the way, we're going to Sundays.
Yep. God bless.
And I think Sunday's a good time because we get a bigger audience. And I hope I hear from you. Are you there, Gary?
I am right here. What a fascinating listener.
Well,
you have some very intelligent listeners.
Oh, yeah. Well, my audience is, the powers that be that blessed me with this moment of having Parker Pathways is the fact that I was told, and the owners of this station were wise. They said, we want another segment out here. We want a younger audience, a different audience, and thing. And I found out within 5 minutes of my first show, of which I have several, where I talk about the globalization of the genome projects and the concept of things. This is one sharp million people that are listening to this show.
Keep listening.
Yeah, this is the whole point. If we did what I was bringing up in the last hour, is why I asked you about Darrow and the judge and the rest of them, because you see what's happening is that the gestalt, as it is in psychiatry, is called the concept of the thought, has to be renewed. We have to water it with knowledge and ideas so that people can get hope. I closed my last show on October 6th, that was last weekend, and I talked about the chemistry of hope. There is an actual chemistry in the brain for that, which is starting to... If you can have chemistry of anxiety, of which the pharmaceutical companies make $16 billion a year, or if you have the chemistry of what is called therapy, that is $20 billion a year, or if you have the chemistry in the mind of cancer, which is a chemotherapy concept, $120 billion a year, then why can't we have a chemistry of hope in terms of the endomorphins and the concept that no one encourages you to have hope? Mm. Parker Pathways, that's what this show is all about, is the fact of putting up that bar higher. It's not to sell, you know, processes for cleaning water. God bless it. That's a technology that we have to expand. It's not out here to promote things in terms of things. It's to promote the inner innovative spirit of developing these. And that's why these great orators that you're depicting in your show is, no kidding, an inspiration for the rest of America. And I want to get back to that after the break on the Scopes Trial and see what we can do about Darrow in that one.
Headline news: activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The Council to Get Some Food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm. Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Digestive problems can be miserable. Get rid of acid reflux, irritable bowel syndrome, and excessive bloating naturally. Gastrinex is the wild and natural herbal support for all digestive problems. It's a powerful blend of herbs, spices, and enzymes to stop digestive problems quickly. For any digestive need, take Gastrinex. Call 800-243-5242 today.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
This is Parker Pathways for Parker Pathway listeners. We're on RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, shortwave 12.180. Call-in number is 800-313-9443. And we have as our guest Gary Henderson, American Legend Works. And Gary, are you there?
I am right here.
Good. If I understand it right, about only a year after the Leopold trial, the Scopes trial was born. Is that right?
That's right. Actually, about 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
He was 68, now involved in the trial that he's best remembered for, the Scopes monkey trial. Of course, we're talking about Clarence Darrow here. And I'd like to mention my website, if I may. It's ClarenceDarrowGaryAnderson.com. Clarence Darrow, GaryAnderson.com. That has my entire schedule on here, even after the performances at the First Unitarian Church tomorrow on October the 14th are done. I'm actually starting next month, and you'll find this interesting, Dr. Parker, to do William Jennings Bryan, the Christian fundamentalist. I'll be portraying him in the afternoons, and then Clarence Darrow at night, and I'm hoping for some good psychological therapy in between.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Because he had his beliefs challenged.
Oh, absolutely. Those were, and hardly anyone knows that. And we're about ready to talk about the Scopes trial, so that's the perfect time to talk about that. That Darrow and Bryan were best friends for over 30 years before this trial destroyed their friendship, and this is covered in great detail in my show. I don't want your listeners, and I don't want you to think either, Dr. Parker, in case you've forgotten from the initial presentation that you saw last year, that this show is only about drama and these very serious issues. Darrow was known as the Mark Twain of the courtroom, and as a perfect example of that, he often said that when I was 9 years old, my father set me out into a field hoeing potatoes during one of the hottest summer days that I can ever remember to teach me what hard work was like for most Americans in this country. After I had worked hard for several hours at hoeing those potatoes and that hard work, I ran away from that work, went into the practice of law, and have not done any work since. So, he did not have a very high opinion of his fellow colleagues.
Yeah.
He often thought that law perhaps was a bum profession. You see, almost devoid of idealism, but nevertheless, he still had great faith in the laws that united Americans and made the world civilized.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he hoped that the law would continue to do, and which is why he was so much attracted to it.
And we're living off of that right now, which we've brought out in the last hour.
Now, isn't it amazing that Darrow, in spite of all the work that he did in his entire life, almost 20 years for the unions, working for the 8-hour day, which he accomplished, the first child labor laws, which he set the foundation for, nobody remembers that work or his work against the death penalty, 102 men, or his work with the NAACP and civil rights and racism. It gets right back to the point you're about to introduce, the Scopes Monkey Trial, and it's primarily because of the movie Inherit the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
That's Tracy Frederick March. That is a brilliant reconstruction of the legal issue only. The rest of the movie was kind of frou-frou and Hollywood plot and all that, but fascinating cases. That is a trial that Darrow is remembered for. Above
mm-hmm.
all else, him and Brian are remembered for that.
The whole aspect of this is intriguing to me, which you can discuss. Is that the American Civil Liberties Union was around then.
Yes, they were a fairly new organization,
and
only
a
few years old.
Yeah, and if I understand this right, you can correct me if I think they were seeking out this kind of case. They were looking for a teacher to act as a test case for the Butler Act.
Well, I have to tell you, this is a case that's very rarely understood as to its concept, how it came about, and if you wouldn't mind, I'd be glad to expand on that for a moment.
Yeah, that's why I'd like you to do that.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to talk about the Scopes trial. A lot of folks don't know that it was all a gigantic conspiracy and put up as a combination of what the ACLU needed as a test case in the South to talk about these laws that were being anti-Darwinian laws being put onto the books, but they needed the cooperation of practically everyone to actually have this test case. So you're talking about a conspiracy, or as Darrow liked to say, everyone was in cahoots with each other. We had the ACLU and the lawyers in New York City who took out an ad through the newspapers in the South now through the 1920s looking for a teacher who was willing to come forward and admit to the heinous crime of teaching Darwin in the schools. The only problem was, you see, these laws that were being put onto the books down in the South are being put onto the books so covertly through the efforts of the Christian fundamentalists applying pressure to the state legislators that the teachers didn't even know they were violating the law. The laws were on the books. There was no public discussion, no public discourse. That's a very scary concept that the ACLU was monitoring. I mean, would you want to live in a country where laws are being put onto the books that you didn't, that you had no knowledge of, that you didn't
mm-hmm.
even know your elected public officials were doing?
Yeah, and they're doing that right now, Gary, in terms of changing the wanting to change the due process of the 14th Amendment.
Absolutely.
And they're doing that in the real world.
Now, I know that you don't have a lot of time left there, so I'll try to make it brief, but please stop me at any point when you feel that you want to open the calls to your listeners. Oh, I hear the music.
Sure.
It's like heavenly music.
Yes, we'll have a few minutes after the break to go into this Butler Act.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Knob Creek Gun Range cordially invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. The country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. This 3-day event, October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action.
Thousands attend the semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. Hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessories available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Live entertainment Saturday, October 13th, is USA's premier patriotic rock and roll band, Poker Face. Call 502-922-4457 for more information. Again, that's www.machinegunshoot.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Can't You Bet Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellites is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU Dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
This is Parker Pathways, and for the Parker Pathway listeners, look for Parker Pathways to be moved to Sundays, starting this coming Sunday, and it's 12 to 2 Central Time. Gary, you were discussing ACLU and the advertisement for it and the conspiracy to pull off this Scopes trial in a different way.
Well, first let me say that, Dr. Parker, I'm completely behind any constitutional amendment that you can come up that will make our water and our food safer for human consumption. I think it's about time that we took the power out of the hands of pharmaceutical companies and put it into the hands of the people as to what goes into our bodies. So I think that you're doing a great service there.
I really appreciate that, because as it stands now, our Constitution does not allow a citizen to have an input to make a decision based on an initiative process, and violates the 10th Amendment to the Constitution.
Well, we need that, and I think that organizations like yourself and the ACLU and folks, good people like yourself who are looking after the American people are a vital part of our nation's character. Now, folks are going to hear a whole explanation of the Scopes trial, the real skinny on it, as Dara would say, the lowdown in the presentation tomorrow at the First Unitarian Church in San Jose, shows at 2 and 7:30, and you folks can look up the address and the phone number yourself. But let's get back to the Butler Act in Tennessee. Now, the ACLU was kind of monitoring what the laws were down in the South, and you don't just jump into a court challenge. You have to have a test case, and they were gathering their ammunition. They sent out this series of ads down through the South looking for a teacher who would volunteer to admit that he taught Darwin in the schools, so they could arrest the teacher and go through the test case process. They also needed a city or town that was willing to host the test case, and they weren't getting any takers, which was remarkable. Actually, the teachers, I knew that they thought living in the Bible Belt, if this was going to come up about creationism versus science in the school, that they weren't going to keep their jobs. I mean, you know, people got to look out after themselves. So no teachers were coming forward. But now there was a group of entrepreneurs in Dayton, Tennessee, not Ohio, but Dayton, Tennessee, where the Butler Act, the most specific act against Darwin, was enacted, who thought that perhaps if they held the test case there in their town, this would be good for business, you see. They were undergoing a rather economic slump, and they saw this as a great big giant publicity gimmick to attract national attention down to their town, which they succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. They did get national attention by holding the cases. They got over 200 reporters, not just from the United States, but newspapers from around the world, especially in Europe, who could not believe that Darwin's theory was being challenged as a valid theory in the schools, but instead to go back to the story of creationism. Now, the exact wording of the Butler Act, and I have it here in front of me, exactly says that it was illegal, unlawful in public schools to teach any theory that denies the story of divine creation as taught by the Bible, and to teach instead that man was descended from a lower order of animals. Now, whether you agree right or wrong with that particular act, I mean, that is a direct violation of the separation of church and state in our public schools and the schools that are controlled by the state and the federal government. Now,
that's right.
So that is a direct violation. So that was the one they decided to challenge. Now, the architect behind the Butler Act, as well as a number of anti-Darwinian laws in the state legislatures, was Darrow's old friend, William Jennings Bryan. Now, they were no longer friends at this point in their lives, but Darrow had supported Bryan on two of his three presidential campaigns as a Democratic candidate. You talk about the original odd couple of politics. I mean, here you have an agnostic called the great infidel Darrow helping to campaign for a Christian fundamentalist, because at that time Darrow just believed, you know, religion aside, he was the best Democratic candidate. So it's a remarkable story of the dissolution of a friendship, the Scopes trial was. So going on with it now, they finally got a teacher to was willing to say, his name was John Scopes, of course, and the Scopes monkey trial was named after him, to come forth and be willing to be their academic martyr. But you see how everyone is conspiring together. The ACLU needed the town. They needed the publicity. Mm-hmm. They talked to John Scopes, and he said, yes, I'm willing to say that I taught Darwin as a substitute teacher in the school. He was not the science teacher. See, W.F. Ferguson was a science teacher in the school, but he said no because he wanted to keep his job. He went to Scopes, who was the basketball, baseball, and football coach, and he said that he remembered substituting in Ferguson's class, but he couldn't remember if he taught Darwin specifically. Was that all right with them? And they said, well, we'll take anybody at this point, so we'll deal with that when it comes up in the trial, if it gets that far. So the ACLU and Darrow and Bryan were tasked with Bryan would come out of retirement. He hadn't been in a courtroom in 30 years. That was a primary mistake going up against Darrow. Was willing to go back into the courtroom again and lead the prosecution defending Bible and the holy word of our fathers. All right. So all the players are in place. Darrow goes down there, even against the wishes of the ACLU. They didn't want him involved in the trial because they knew that he and Bryan had been friends, and they were afraid Darrow would use this as an opportunity, as a broadside against organized religion. But the whole point was that everybody is forgetting that the ACLU and Darrow, they had to lose that trial. They wanted to lose that trial. See, Darrow and the ACLU didn't win. They lost. It was a verdict of guilty returned against Scope. They wanted a verdict of guilty because they knew that the local political judge who was running for re-election, Judge Ralston, was never going to go against the local population in this religious town that he was in. But they wanted to control when the guilty verdict would come up. So both sides, all of them, they wanted a guilty verdict because then the bigger battle could take place at a higher level. Tennessee State Supreme Court. You can't appeal a not guilty verdict. You got to have a guilty verdict. And they thought that the Tennessee State Supreme Court, and if not them, then the U.S. Supreme Court, would finally have the moxie and the courage to deal with these issues of a constitutional level. So they had to lose that trial down there, and they didn't lose it by accident. It was designed to be lost.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask you then, Dr. Parker, and I ask the people who know anything about this case, is if their intention was to lose, why did they drag out this case over legal arguments and present any evidence to the jury at all? Why didn't they just plead Scopes guilty in the first 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because here you have an opportunity to educate, you see, use the courtroom as classroom on both sides of the issue. And when you have 200 reporters there, and this is the first trial that was ever broadcast live by radio, a lot of folks don't know that, WGN of Chicago, you can't buy that kind of publicity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine.
That's right. That's what's going on right now.
Being sarcastic for a moment, imagine lawyers dragging out a trial for the sake of publicity. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah, I know. And the other thing, the other little nuance into this, which has, in now from my opinion, going along with what you're talking about losing the case, there is the greatest historical, scientific, forensic, social change occurred in this case by omission. And what I and it started the field of forensic evidence science. It when Judge Ralston, I believe, he said to Darryl. And this, of course, I got from private papers. I mean, he could not call any scientific experts.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so Darryl had to go his other way. As you're pointing out, he called William Jennings Bryan to stand to talk about his religious beliefs and so forth. Now, when that judge put that forth, not to call scientific experts to testify about something that was scientific, mm-hmm. that was the beginning of a new law field. And that is the way the case books and the cases evolved, was from that dissent. Our whole field of scientific cyber science, it's called, in terms of forensics, emanated from that judge's three sentence dissent.
Remarkable. I was unaware of that, so I'm.
Yeah, this is something from my side that you know, the privacy and everything. That was the beginning of that. That was the beginning of that, and for the first time, because the word forensics was really an English word. It was really used in England, in Scotland Yard, and was never an acceptable word in America. And I'm not overriding your narration, but I'm just saying I want the audience to realize that history was made by omission. That has changed our life forever. We would not have a precedent case to present on DNA evidence today as we do, and have all these cases and development of the science and be able to adequately force it in without that dissent from that judge in this trial.
Well, that'll be his lasting accomplishment, because after that trial was over, his career tanked and he was not reelected.
Yeah, but his piece of history was by omission, and that was real world, and that's the footnote in every major case law that you read.
Well, you mentioned something very interesting. Now, when Darrow finally they were about ready to present their witnesses, of course, for science to bolster Darwin's, they gathered geologists and astronomers and all that, and then of course the scientific testimony was denied. The scientific witnesses, that is, were not going to be put on the stand. And Judge Ralston did indeed rule on the only point of law, which was truly in there, that whether or not Scopes had actually taught Darwin in the schools in violation of the Butler Act. Did he teach Darwin or did he not? That was really the only point of law. Everyone knew that the rest of all this was frou-frou. They were all fighting mm-hmm. for their own sides and everything. And that's battle in the courtroom. That's the way it always goes. Not only for the legal issues, but for the hearts and minds of the American people. And when mm-hmm. you have millions of listening audience, 200 reporters, it was remarkable that the defense lawyers and the fundamentalist
right.
lawyers, they were all going home at night, going to the hotel, talking about what they were going to do the next day, what points of law were going to be covered. So it was all a big setup, and they all knew what was going to happen eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It was just remarkable. This is also the first time that Darrow was ever fined on a contempt of court charge in his entire life. He was so frustrated with the judge showing bias towards the prosecutorial side of it that Darrow blurted out, and your listeners might appreciate this. The judge, Darrow blurted out that he felt that the court was showing bias towards the other side, and before they could even get their objections out and put a period on their sentences, that the judge was ruling against them. And the judge, Ralston, responded with, "I hope, Mr. Darrow, that you do not mean to attack the integrity of this court in the great state of Tennessee. I hope you do not." And Darrow said, "Well, Your Honor has the right to hope." And that got Darrow his first contempt of court citation. He lost control of himself. The courtroom was like a three-ring circus with people shouting out hallelujahs from the gallery whenever Brian would speak, and the fundamentalist spokesman, they would boo and hiss. And Darrow, whenever he got up, and Darrow was stunned. A $5,000 contempt of court, and that's 1925. That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
that was equivalent almost
yeah.
to $50,000. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the ACLU would not pay it for him. They warned him about
his
sarcastic tongue. They weren't going to pay it. They told Darrow to just either pony it up or apologize to the judge. Darrow did the very next day. He apologized. He had a great portion of crow for breakfast. He apologized to the judge, and the judge went on to forgive him for the next 10 minutes in a speech that quoted the Bible three times, during which point Darrow almost got another contempt of court citation because he couldn't take the pontificating, you see.
So
it was a wonderful entertainment, and the points of law that were made obviously resonate even today. What happened, the points of law come back 81 years after the Scopes trial was over. We're still facing these court challenges, as we should. Every time a separation of church and state issue comes up, we have to take it to court and or change the laws. That's what I think the rule of a civilized society should do. It is about court cases. It is about Americans getting behind whatever laws they choose to support and change.
Mm-hmm.
But up until that point, with these constitutional guarantees in place, these laws have to be abided by law-abiding citizens.
Mm-hmm. And I believe the Butler Act was overturned.
Not till 1966.
67.
Epperson.
It was repealed then, wasn't it?
Yeah, but in the meantime, I had a judge ask me the other night when I was in Buffalo, New York. He said, "So what was the result? I mean, they got a guilty verdict for Scopes as they wanted. When it was appealed to the Tennessee State Supreme Court the following year, the court didn't want to handle the constitutional issue and possibly overturn the Butler Act. They did not want the fallout themselves." Now, I always thought Supreme Court justices had more, you know, moxie and courage than that, but this was a political hot potato, as is currently reflected today, of course. So they looked for a reason to overturn the law, the verdict on a technicality. They went back in, they looked in the court record, and Judge Ralston, too many judges in my life, excuse me, Judge Ralston had made a technical error. He had imposed the amount of the fine of $100, and it should have been left to the jury to decide the amount of the fine. How do you like that? So they overturned the verdict on a technicality from guilty to not guilty, and you don't have to be a law student to know this.
Yeah, but
you can't appeal a not guilty verdict.
Exactly. And yeah, but I knew all the rest except that one little fact on that technicality, because I've read some technicalities on the Butler Act, and this grand jury of science and technology that I want to propose for as a national constitutional initiative
can only help protect our lives and the quality of our lives. I'm
exactly
for it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm aiming for. I need 20 million people to back me out of 300 million.
Well, you got one.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Gary. And the thing is, because as far as I'm concerned, we're all still living under the phantom shadow of the Butler Act, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I hold Darrow and Brian responsible for the current fury and the animus that we have been left. We are still living in the legacy of what these two great men did to each other on a personal basis. And I'll explain that for just a moment, because I know you only have 10 minutes left. and I'm watching the time, and I'm respectful of that. But when these two great giants, these orators, brought their celebrity status down there, both hoping to satisfy their giant egos as well, to keep themselves in the limelight, they did this case for very personal reasons. And when they attacked each other and forcing Americans to take such extreme positions, either for science or against science, for science or for religion, they eliminated all that gray area, that discussion, this chance to debate, the chance to talk, to try to understand mm-hmm. each other's side. And if mm-hmm. they had not taken their tremendous personalities down there, it only would have ever have been an ACLU case about separation of church and state. But
mm-hmm.
these two men have put their imprint on it, and we're living in their shadow today.
Yeah, that's very well put, Gary. We'll be back after the break, and We'll do a summation of our two-hour show with Gary Henderson, American Legend Works.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Do you have trouble getting out of bed in the morning? Do you wish that you had more strength and energy throughout the day? Well, North American Urban Spice has the solution. Royal Power is an all-natural and stimulant-free answer to all of your energy needs. Get energy fast and make yourself powerful. Get Royal Power now. Call 1-800-243-5242 for more information. 800-243-5242.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
This is Parker Pathways for the Parker Pathway listeners. The address for reaching me is Dr. Wynn Parker, P.O. Box 864, Millbrae, M-I-L-L-B-R-A-E, California, 94030. And the email is kwati@sbcglobal.com. net. And Parker Pathways will be moving to Sundays, 12 to 2 Central Time. And Gary, this is a good time to give a summation of your presentation with our listeners today. We have a couple minutes, and I'll give them over to you.
Well, thank you. If you want to find out more about our theater company, which primarily focuses on American characters that are written by American playwrights, just go to our website, which is ClarenceDarrowGaryAnderson.com. ClarenceDarrowGaryAnderson.com. My entire performance schedule is on there. I'm very delighted to be in the San Jose area now. Tomorrow, on October 14th, I'm doing two shows at 2 and 7:30 p.m. This is a very raw portrayal of Clarence Darrow as a very human being, flawed, with ethical problems. Most folks don't even know he was on trial for jury tampering charges for 2.5 years, which I expound on the psychological effects that had on Darrow. He was a very scarred and haunted man through most of his life, and this helped shape the type of cases that he took, also people who were haunted and scarred, because he could identify more empathetically with him. So you'll hear about all the things that we just talked about, the Scopes trial,
yeah.
Leopold and Loeb, and a variety of other
mm-hmm.
cases.
Well, I really have appreciated in every way you being the guest for Parker Pathway listeners. And
time just flew. I can't believe it. I think your listeners are very lucky that they have you on the air.
Well, I appreciate that compliment. I've been called a lot of things for opening up a lot of doors on things that nobody wants to talk about.
Keep doing it. You are a very Darrow-esque figure. You keep knocking on the doors and making sure they open, and that's what Darrow would do.
No, I will. And I want to dedicate this show to Mike, who is also known as Sam. And I want to thank him for all the wonderful stories and information. He's lived a decade and a half and more, and he's worked through a lot of things that has given us a lot of inspiration in the movie business, who was involved with showing a lot of these movies, and particularly Stanley Kramer's 1960 film, Inherit the Wind, and became an inspiration as well as you for what is really going on. I wish I could make your show. I have to get ready for the Sunday's Parker Pathways at 12 to 2 Central Time. And
keep speaking the truth. You know, I'm America's nationally known portrayer of Clarence Darrow, but it's only because nobody else wants to do the job, and nobody else has the courage to do it, the kind of things that you're doing except you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, because on the future shows, I'm going to be going into the Constitution and what we have as civil liberties that we're supposed to have and criminal rights that we're supposed to have, which have been eaten away by various laws and activities of our world today. Well, that's been our show, Parker Pathway listeners. Look for us on Sundays, 12 to 2 Central Time. And thank you, Gary, and thank you, Victoria. This has been an honor to have you on my show, and that's a fact. God bless you.
Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.